Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a sense we probably interact with constantly, but maybe don't give a lot of conscious thought to. Smell.
It's so true. We really navigate the world so much by sight and sound, don't we? But olfaction, our sense of smell, it's this incredible chemical information stream kind of happening below the surface.
Absolutely. And our mission today in this deep dive is to explore olfactics, which is the study of how scent and smell communicate.
Right.
We're digging into the source material you've shared, looking at the science behind it, the surprisingly specific vocabulary we use, and how smell functions in ways that really impact our lives.
Yeah, our relationships, even, commerce, what we buy.
It's a fascinating area because, unlike seeing or hearing, smell is fundamentally chemical, isn't it?
It is. It works when these airborne molecules, well, they enter our nasal cavity and get processed by the olfactory nerve.
So there's a very direct interaction with the physical stuff around us.
Exactly, a chemical set.
Right, a chemical process.
Yeah.
And that makes sense when you think about its close cousin, taste. Also chemical.
Oh, they're so intertwined. Absolutely.
They really are.
And speaking of how we talk about it, the sources point at something interesting about the words themselves. We have smell, right? That's the common one, pretty neutral.
Yeah, could be good, could be bad. What's that smell? Could go either way.
Exactly. But then you have synonyms with more specific vibes, like scent.
Scent feels nicer, like perfume or flowers.
Precisely. It's typically used for a pleasing smell, a fragrance. And think about why we use scents, maybe to cover up body odor or make a room smell nice with incense or, get rid of bad bathroom odors.
Makes sense. And aroma. That always makes me think of food or coffee.
Spot on. Aroma is pretty much saved for those pleasant smells, especially from like flowers or food and drinks.
Okay, now I'm hungry.
Huh? Me too. And then there's odor. Now, the sources mentioned this can be the most generic term.
Generic. How so?
Well, while smell is common and neutral, odor technically refers to all smells, good or bad. So, a scent is a type of pleasant odor, an aroma is a type of pleasant odor, but odor itself is the big umbrella.
Got it. So all aromas are odors, but not all odors are aromas. Useful.
Helps clarify things, yeah. Oh, and here's a little factoid from the material, apparently. Your sense of smell can actually get stronger when you're hungry.
That actually makes intuitive sense, doesn't it? Like sniffing out food.
It does, yeah. Now let's think about just our everyday environment.
Yep.
The sources really highlight how we're just swimming in this olfactory world, hundreds of different smells every day, and a lot of them are really personal.
That's true. You often don't consciously register them, do you? Not until one really jumps out at you, either because you love it or hate it.
Exactly. Our brains are filtering constantly, but that input is still there, still potentially affecting us. It's this constant mix, positive and negative smells shaping our experience.
Which brings us to the really exciting part, I think, the functions of smell. The sources identify three key ways smell operates as an attractor, a relaxer, and a really powerful memory evoker.
Let's tackle smell as an attractor first. This is where you see it used very deliberately.
Oh, like those commercial examples you mentioned, adding a new car scent to a used car.
Right. That's pure olfactory engineering to make it seem more appealing, sell faster, maybe.
Or walking past a bakery and they're pumping out the smell of fresh bread or donuts.
Exactly. Venting it right onto the street. That's olfactory marketing 101, designed to pull you in, boost sales.
And it totally works, at least on me. But smell's an attractor isn't just about buying stuff, is it?
No, not at all. It's deeply social, and yes, it seems to play a role in sexual attraction too.
Even though our sense of smell isn't as sharp as, say, a dog's.
Right. Even so, research suggests it plays this really pivotal role, often subconsciously, in drawing us to others.
Okay, so this is where pheromones come into the picture, those chemical signals.
That's the idea. Pheromones scents given off by animals and us humans too. The term itself comes from Greek, meaning something like to carry and to stimulate.
Stimulate what exactly?
Often discussed in the context of sexual attraction, potentially sparking desire, promoting procreation.
And the sources suggest each person might have their own unique pheromone signature.
That's a concept that's been explored, yes.
Yeah.
And there's research looking into how you smell might actually influence how attractive someone finds you physically.
Well, hang on. So it's not just about masking bad smells, but the smell itself could change how someone perceives your looks. That's wild.
It kind of highlights why things like cologne and scented lotions are so popular, doesn't it? We use these artificial enhancements to try and boost feelings of desirability, attractiveness.
The sources also brought up some really interesting studies on scent preferences.
They did. One finding suggested that women might actually prefer the company of men whose natural scent indicates a genetic makeup somewhat similar to their own.
Really? That seems counterintuitive. I would guess difference would be key.
It's complex, and another study mentioned looked at reactions to male pheromones, specifically comparing responses based on sexual orientation.
Okay.
The findings reported were that homosexual men seemed to react differently, showing a preference for odors from other gay men. Heterosexual men and women and lesbians didn't show that same specific preference for homosexual odors in that particular study.
So it suggests these responses are really nuanced and might vary significantly between groups.
Exactly. It's just another layer showing how smell influences attraction in ways we're probably not even aware of most of the time.
Fascinating. Okay, so attraction is one big function. What about smell as a relaxer?
Yeah, the sources touch on this too, though maybe with a bit less detail than attraction or memory. Aromatherapy is the classic example here.
Right, using essential oils and plant fragrances.
Exactly. Using those fragrances from plants, flowers, often to treat certain ailments, or more commonly just for relaxation and stress relief.
Makes sense. Okay, now for my personal favorite. Smell is a memory evoker. This feels like smell's superpower.
It really does, doesn't it? Olfactory memory is described as being incredibly emotional, a really strong influencer on our thoughts, our behavior.
Why is it so strong compared to, say, seeing something?
Well, the way our brains process smells, it seems the odor of a place or a person or a thing, when it gets processed in the brain's emotive centers, it can stick with us longer, impact our memory more deeply than just sight or sound alone.
It's that instant transportation thing. Yeah. You smell something and bam, you're right back there.
Exactly that. It connects directly to what are called autobiographic memories, the memories tied to your own life story. And it's incredibly good at reproducing nostalgic feelings.
Like those examples they gave. Catching a whiff of a perfume or cologne an ex used to wear.
And you're instantly back in that time with those feelings. Or the specific smell of, I don't know, your favorite childhood hangout spot.
Oh, yeah. Or a restaurant you always went to in your hometown.
Or even, like, the smell of baked apples bringing back vivid Thanksgiving memories for someone.
It's so powerful. What about you listening right now? What smells just instantly trigger a really strong memory or feeling for you? It's amazing, isn't it?
And smell doesn't just connect us to the past. It can communicate right now, in the present. The sources talk about the social effects of odors.
How so?
Apparently, our bodies actually give off different odors depending on the emotions we're feeling, like fear or happiness.
Wait, really? So my body odor could be signaling if I'm stressed or happy to someone else, even if I don't say anything?
That's what the research suggests, yeah. Our body odor can potentially communicate our emotional state.
Mind blown. Okay, let's talk about the obvious link. Taste. There's a simple rule here, right?
Pretty much. Tastes good often means smells good. They are incredibly closely linked senses.
Like when you have a bad cold.
Exactly. You lose your sense of smell, even just temporarily, and boom, your sense of taste often goes right along with it, or at least gets seriously dulled. Permanently losing smell through disease or injury usually means losing taste, too.
They really work hand in hand for that full flavor experience.
Totally. And smell also gives us clues about, well, diet and health.
How we smell reflects what we eat.
And potentially our state of health, yeah. The sources mention things like meat eaters might smell different from vegetarians or fish eaters.
Or people who eat a lot of garlic or strong spices.
Mm-hmm.
You can often smell it on them.
Precisely. And this isn't just us noticing it on each other. Animals, with their much, much sharper sense of smell, can pick up amazing things from human scent.
Like the examples of dogs detecting early signs of certain cancers.
Exactly. Or narcotic sniffing dogs smelling hidden drugs. It's powerful evidence that scent carries information even about health or concealed substances.
Wow. So bringing it back around then, the sources kind of circle back to that deep connection between smell, emotion, and that feeling of being there, especially bringing back feelings of home or familiarity.
It really acts as this powerful anchor for our emotional geography, you could say.
And connecting back to the commercial side.
Right. It's clear how businesses leverage this. Mm. Think about movie theaters. It's not just the movie. It's the smell of popcorn, maybe hot dogs or candy.
They're selling the whole sensory experience.
Absolutely. That smell enhances the experience, makes you want to buy concessions, increases profits. It taps right into that subconscious link between smell, emotion, maybe nostalgia, and definitely behavior.
It's all about pushing those subtle buttons.
And finally, the sources mention that how we approach smell isn't the same everywhere. There are cultural variations.
That's interesting. So how does it differ?
Well, it's suggested that maybe in some cultures, like potentially some Asian countries mentioned, smell might play a less prominent conscious role in daily life or communication. Whereas in others, like some Arab countries noted in the sources, smell can be incredibly significant, playing a really central role in hospitality, social interaction, personal grooming.
So our perception and even the importance we place on smell isn't just biological, it's cultural too.
Definitely shaped by both.
So, okay, we've taken this deep dive into olfactics, and it's, wow, it's surprisingly complex, isn't it?
It really is.
We've gone from the basic science, the words like scent and aroma, to these big functions attracting others, relaxation, and that incredibly powerful memory trigger.
Yeah, and how it communicates emotion, works so closely with taste, gives clues about health, brings back feelings of home.
And how it's deliberately used to influence us in the marketplace.
It's clear that smell is constantly shaping our experience of the world, often interacting with our other senses, kind of under the radar of our conscious thought.
Which leads to a final thought, maybe something for you to mull over, drawing on those examples of commercial influence and set memory. If companies can and do intentionally engineer smells to evoke specific feelings, maybe make you nostalgic or hungry or feel luxurious and ultimately get you to buy things, how much are all the other smells swirling around us every single day in shops, in offices, public transport, even from other people? How much is that subtly influencing our thoughts, our feelings, our decisions without us even realizing it? What does that hidden layer of olfactory communication really mean for how we experience and, well, navigate the world?